Hey friends, the next time you see something like this from NASA and you're told that it's a picture of the Earth, well, keep in mind that a picture is not the same as a photograph. And keep that in mind as we take a listen to this very eye-opening interview with some of the NASA visualizationers. I just made that word up, but they are the artists, they are the animators, they are the ones that create the concepts, the impressions, the visualizations, the simulations, the animations. And also drop a comment and let me know what you think about this hello world and why that is significant.
Images that inspire, educate, and sometimes just make us say, wow. Yeah. Over the years, NASA has given us spectacular photos and renderings that reveal a colorful and mysterious universe.
No doubt. And now Chris Martinez is introducing us to two of the artists behind some of the most iconic space art in the galaxy.
Iconic space art, renderings, visualizations. She threw in the word photo. I don't think technically a photo is the same as a photograph. An image is not the same as a photograph. A picture is not the same as a photograph. So keep that in mind. Let's continue.
In a small bright office working side by side.
Let's see.
Robert Hurt and Tim Pyle bring the universe to life.
What we're doing does have real science underlying it.
Robert is an astrophysicist turned artist. Tim, once a Hollywood animator, is now a planet illustrator.
Once a Hollywood animator. I think you caught that.
Together, they produce some of NASA's most popular images, from renderings of how planets light years away could look to actual photos of stars and galaxies captured by NASA's powerful telescopes.
And this is sort of how it comes to me. And then
many of those images have a dark, grainy start, but color and light reveal an astonishing glimpse of how the deepest regions of space might appear to the human eye.
How they might appear to the human eye.
What I'm trying to do is show people sort of the broader colors that the universe has to offer.
It's a delicate blend of imagination and data.
A delicate blend of imagination and data. Yes, I do like to interrupt.
The artists meet with NASA scientists over many drafts to ensure a planet or galaxy's look lines up with the research to make each one as accurate as possible.
Oh, how do you like this one? Making it look like an eyeball. Oh my gosh. They are very creative. I'll put it that way. Friends, we're going to continue looking at this. I want to give a shout out to the sponsor. Then we're also going to dive in and look at more of these artists on the very website, on the NASA website. And they explicitly state that these are visualizations and that the images are enhanced. So keep that in mind when we look at the Hello World from Reed Wiseman. So we are over here now, some good news over at noblegoldinvestments.com. You know, Wall Street doesn't lose money on the sell-offs, but you do. They create the panic. Basically, they wait for you to sell out of fear and then scoop it up at a discount. The big banks are not selling their gold. They are buying yours. So don't let the big banks shake you out of the position that you built to protect yourself. They're counting on your fear. Stop giving it to them. So go to noblegoldinvestments.com, learn all about this bonus that you qualify for, a free 10th ounce American Gold Eagle for a coin here for all new qualified accounts. There's always a risk of investment, friends. Please check it out with the experts, noblegoldinvestments.com. Well, speaking of experts, this image was released after the April Fool's Day Artemis launch that I covered, and many other YouTubers are as well. And we are told, I want you to read between the lines here, friends. We are told that NASA astronaut and Artemis II commander Reed Wiseman took this picture of Earth. It doesn't say that he took this photograph of Earth. A picture is not the same as a photograph. I just want everybody to be clear. Now, you may believe that there are men and a woman floating around space, not landing on the moon, but circling the moon, and that they were able to take pictures with high-powered photographs. Well, let's finish this video that I started about the artist who create pictures like this, and they don't make any bones about it.
I love the challenge. It's kind of like a puzzle to me of trying to create something that looks really cool within the restrictions that were given by the scientists.
It can take days, even weeks, to produce just a single image. The dazzling final results, enough to keep us all dreaming of the final frontier for years to come. Chris Martinez, CBS News, Pasadena, California.
And what I did is I just took a little walk around NASA. And stay tuned, because at the end of this video, I'm going to share with you a short video clip of the other astronauts that we were told walked on the moon. You're going to see how uncomfortable they are with their performance at their press concert. So here we've got simulating the Artemis II lunar flyby on April 6th. People don't even see these words, simulating, meaning it is not real. It's a simulation. It is a visualization. It's an animation. And it's kind of a boring video. It just shows this over and over and over again. But you can see with their own words. Oh, and by the way, I've got the spinning wheel here with my internet connection. Yet the astronauts are able to call Earth and speak to people on some sort of deep space network. I'd like to know exactly who laid the lines for the deep space network. Are there some sort of gigantic ears in the universe? Here's another one. AJ Christensen, a senior graphic designer for NASA. He's a senior visualization designer for the NASA Scientific Visualization Studio. They do not make any bones about it, friends. He develops data visualization techniques and designs data-driven imagery for scientific analysis and public outreach using Hollywood visual effects tools. Oh, yes, Hollywood and NASA have, how does the expression go? They've been bedfellows ever since, well, let me say Disney, ever since Disney started, because, Walt Disney, another famous Freemason. And, oh, I covered that in the last video, the Freemason connection to NASA. And we know that the Freemasons are a secret society that are associated with the occult. Here we have it again, Artemis Science visualizing NASA's next lunar flyby. I took a little walk here down into LinkedIn, and there's something called the NASA Goddard Space Center. Kelsey Young, there she is. She is the, let's see. She's answering their questions and helping them prep for crucial observations and photographs of the lunar surface. Does that mean she's creating the photographs? It's, somebody's got a mask on. This is strange. Oh, well, all of it is strange. And we covered this in some detail last time. The purpose of this video is to show you not these outrageous, outlandish photos where some things apparently are defying gravity in that spaceship while others aren't. I saw a picture of this woman's clipboard she had, and the papers were not flying up. And a very astute, healthy American showed me that there was a glitch in some of this animation as well. A lot of it is out there on YouTube. As I say, the purpose here is to just give you hard evidence that NASA admits that there are artists, and they are the ones that doctor up these images. Here he is, Jonathan North, senior 3D artist at NASA. Prop modeling, all right? Here's another one, Daniel Gallagher, communicating science through film and video. And he works here for the NASA Goddard Space Flight Center. Here's another, NASA's Conceptual Image Lab that has partnerships with, for example, Jet Propulsion Laboratory. And it just goes on and on. The Conceptual Image Lab, this was some years ago, but they're not hiding this whatsoever. Michael Lentz, I believe he was the one in the video that I showed you. An award-winning director and artist has led and designed groundbreaking art and animation at National Geographic, Discovery, and NASA. Currently, he is the art director in the Conceptual Image Lab at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center and leads NASA Creatives, a network of over 420 agency-wide content creators. Oh my gosh, it's just irrefutable. Absolutely. Here we've got the flight path that has been animated for us in the occultic figure eight. Ernie Wright brings the moon to life. He's a science visualizer. What do you do? What's the most interesting thing about your role here? I work with scientists to put their data into context. Basically, I make films out of scientific data, cinematic scientific visualization using the same software that Hollywood uses. Friends, it's irrefutable. Tim Pyle is the one that I showed you in the opening video. If you're just hopping on, be sure to go back to the beginning and you'll see the news broadcast with a short interview with Tim Pyle. And he talks very openly about how he creates these images to make things seem real or what they possibly could be. I just did a giggle search because it's so funny. And here we have images I put picture of Earth. I should have put photograph because there are no photographs. A photograph is taken with light moving through a camera, where an image can be anything that is created, mocked up, designed. Even a picture can be anything. So I thought that was very interesting. Going back here, Hello World. I asked you if you knew what this referenced, Hello World. Well, this troubles me as well, because it's a little bit of a wink and a nod to computer programmers. My research that I pulled together for this video told me that basically this is what computer programmers say to each other once they've got their program online. That's sort of their opening statement, which is why we see it associated with things like Apple computers, maybe Microsoft. And Hello World is what this was titled. Troubling to me that we're told this is a picture of Earth and not a photograph. All right, friends, a couple more things here for you. I'm going to play a short video of the, I guess I'll just call them astronauts, giving their performance at the press concert. And then if you're interested, stay till the end for those of you that were asking me about my natural beauty products on a lighter topic. All right, here we go.
In this rough terrain.
We were never able to see stars from the lunar surface or on the daylight side of the moon by eye without looking through the optics. I don't recall during the period of time that we were photographing the Sona Corolla what stars we could see.
I don't remember seeing any.
Neil, you were a little bit concerned, you said, about stubbing your toe at the point of landing because the surface was obscured by dust.
I'm struck from the movies and the still pictures by the difference in the very hostile appearance of the moon when you're orbiting over it or some distance from it, and the warmer colors and the apparently relatively more friendly appearance of it when you're on the surface. I'd like to ask Colonel Collins if he gets that same impression from the pictures, and the two of you who were on the moon, what impression you have along those lines.
Well, the moon changes character as the angle of sunlight striking its surface changes. At very low sun angles, close to the terminator, or dawn or at dusk, it has the harsh, forbidding characteristics which you see in a lot of the photographs. On the other hand, when the sun is more closely overhead, a midday situation, the moon takes on more of a brown color, almost a it becomes almost a rosy looking place, a fairly friendly place, so that from dawn through midday through dusk, you run the whole gamut of it. It starts off very forbidding, becomes friendly, and then becomes forbidding again as the sun disappears.
Neil, were you and Buzz, did you have the feeling you were getting a little low on fuel during the landing? Were you concerned at that point about being low on fuel? And the second part of it, I suppose, for Buzz is, out of your experience, how tough do you think pinpoint precision landings will be on the lunar surface on future flights?
Okay, yes, we were concerned about running low on fuel and the range extension of the landing area that you found yourself in. However, we spent more time in the manual phase than we would have planned in order to find a suitable landing area.
Many of us and many other people in many places have speculated on the meaning of this first landing on another body in space. Would each of you give us your estimate of what is the meaning of this to all of us?
Are you going to try that?
After you.
Well, I believe that what this country set out to do was something that was going to be done sooner or later, whether we set a specific goal or not. I believe that from the early space flights, we demonstrated a potential to carry out this type of a mission. And again, it was a question of time until this would be accomplished. I think the relative ease with which we were able to carry out our mission, which of course came after a very efficient and a logical sequence of flights, I think that this demonstrated that we were certainly on the right track when we took this commitment to go to the moon. I think that what this means is that many other problems perhaps can be solved in the same way by taking a commitment to solve them in a long time fashion. I think that we were timely in accepting this mission of going to the moon. It might be timely at this point to think in many other areas of other missions that could be accomplished.
Well, everybody looking at me? Well, to me, they're near and far term.
Than we would have planned in order to find a suitable landing area.
Many of us and many other people in many places have speculated on the meaning of this first landing on another body in space. Would each of you give us your estimate of what is the meaning of this to all of us?
Friends, you have to admit, that is a very strange press concert, as I call it, because yes, it definitely is a performance. So drop a comment. Let me know what you think about this, about the animators, the visualizers, those that are creating the animations and the concepts and the artistry. And before we sign off, for those who are asking about my natural beauty products, I have a quick little video clip explaining that for you here. So I decided to come back to my first passion, which is health and wellness, and make this available to you. So if you're interested, here's where it is. It is over at youthserum.com. Reveal your radiance, coastal-inspired skincare for a beautiful you. Friends, This is what I did to my skin. It's the only thing that I did to my skin to improve it, to heal it. I do not put sunscreen on my face. I'll talk about that in an upcoming broadcast. And I wanted to let you know one other thing. I handcraft this for you when you order. So I'm not Amazon. It's not one day shipping. You don't get it the next day, or even Amazon, I think, ships same day. So you're going to get this in about a week, maybe a week to 10 days, probably about a week. And that allows me to take time with careful, lovingly crafted and formulated product for you. And then to ship that out via USPS, you do get a tracking number. So you can check that and see when it arrives, and you should get it in about a week. So I want everything to be fresh for you when it arrives. So thank you for your patience. And I would love to hear about you and the things that you've done with your skin and what challenges and issues you would like me to help you with on this channel.